Greetings in the name of Jesus. May the mercy and peace and joy be with you today and increase as we continue on. We are marching to Zion. I appreciated the singing this morning. We're preaching, we're marching to Zion. And are we really longing for that? And in the meantime, we'll stop here and have some fresh water from the fountain that will never run dry and some spiritual bread from heaven as we continue and leave here. Then we are to go out and serve. I think it was Brother Steve mentioned something to that extent this morning in his devotional. I appreciated that. When we leave here, we need to go out and serve and not just think about our own things and be selfish about our giving and whatever, you know. There's a lot of things that are included in our walk of life, in our journey as we go from earth to heaven. Excuse me. For a Bible reading, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here the Apostle Paul asserts his apostolic character and also desires the right to speak about some maintenance in our lives. You know, one of our grandsons bought a small 10, 12-acre farm, whatever it was. And so the other people moved out. And after the furniture was out, why, it's, what's wrong with this house? It's kind of dark around the bottoms. And there was a venture of thinking it was black mold. And it just wasn't maintained. The maintenance wasn't there, the cleaning, the keeping up. But the people were, I think, 80 or maybe some close to 90 years old. They weren't able to do all this. And so Paul talks about some maintenance in this chapter here that we want to look at. Life is compared to a race, and he striveth to obtain an incorruptible crown. Now, that's what we're on our journey. We want this. We want to run the race. We want to beat or win, and we can all be winners. Whatever, we run this race. In the race that Paul talks about in this natural sense, only one gets the prize. But like Henry said, it's available to all of us now, through Jesus Christ. We can win that race, and so. Let us read this chapter in its entirety. Paul had a problem. Excuse me, I'm going to insert a few words here. Paul had a problem with people, and of course they were eating and they were getting after each other and having a problem and didn't like each other. And like Brother Norman said in the prayer room, we need to love our brethren. I think we all know that already, but sometimes issues come up that were tried. But it says, love your brother, even as Christ loved me. And so let's think about these things. And so the Apostle Paul is saying here, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are in the Lord, are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thrasheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is me unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, the dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Maybe pausing there, I like the German. In that respect, some of you don't understand. But it says there, "Du ich gern, du ich gern, so ist mich wohl belohnt. Du ich aber ungern, so ist das Wort Gottes mir all befohlen." In other words, like he said here, if I do not this willingly, we all want to be willing workers in the vineyard of the Lord. And the young children, youth, as we grow up, we want to love the Lord with all our heart. And we want to be, I hope I can say that we want to be like mom and dad, the way they trained us, the way they taught us, and the love that they had for us. They want to walk in the steps of father and mother. And so, the training, the children training is very, very important. And however, I do realize that some youth do exactly the opposite. And what directs them that way, I don't know. We have a grandson that says, told his mother the other year a while back that, "Don't you have a doubt whether there's a God? I don't believe in God. And I don't think you really do." Well, she assured him she does. I thought maybe I misspoke that, but no. It is one of our grandsons. And so he has taken his route. We stopped in there the last weekend, and we I really loved to talk. I wanted to talk to him. I hoped he would come to his home. And sure enough, he did. We've been praying for him. And I did have an opportunity to speak with him a little bit. But I'm not sure how much really soaked in. But he says, I'm searching. Well, I said, if you search for God, you search in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, the reading, and you will find God if you really search for him. But if you do not believe in God, it's very, very, it just won't happen, because he wants us to search for him and believe in him and trust in him. But anyhow, so much for that. So we want to be workers, willing workers. Here Paul was saying, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. And every one of us will have a reward as well, as we serve him willingly in the capacity in which he has put us. But, he says, if against my will, the dispensation of the gospel is committed to me, unto me. Continuing on in verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. He was interested in having more. He being a servant and having more people come to the knowledge of the truth and trust God and follow him, and also be a salt unto the earth and a light unto the world. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law, without law to God, but under the law of Christ, the law to Christ, that I might gain them, and that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made in all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore, notice these last two verses, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was very concerned about his own life and what type of example he was to all those that he preached. He had a longing desire. He says, I keep under my body and bring it to subjection. And that's one, if you want a title, that's it, a self-control. Paul was one that was not just controlling himself, but he was keeping his body, his mind, his preaching, he was keeping it under control and on Christ Jesus, so he could have that incorruptible crown. And I'm going to share some, there's several, but I'll just share about one topic here. And that is the self-control among so many people today. And I think it's in chapter 6 that Paul says, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient, or all things are not really, what was the word I wanted now? All things are not, I thought I wrote that word down that I wanted. Anyhow, all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And in the Bible here it says self-control right next to the references. And so we want to realize that we can, sometimes we get pretty self-centered, and we hinder others, and we just want it my way or the highway. I know several people like that, and I hope none of them are in here. Self-control, and that's what I was reading about here. We find that in this chapter, and it means temperance, avoidance, and avoidance of extremes. God calls us to self-control in every area of our life. Self-control. When we are in control of self, we're in a dangerous situation, brothers and sisters. Self-control is, excuse me, my throat isn't right. Self-control is a guiding principle for growth in the Christian life. Self-control, you know, we need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. It implies that moderation and self-restraint, which saves one from doing foolish and uncommon things. It suggests that which is constructively and builds up good in the people. Our thought life should be controlled. The Holy Spirit wants to control our lives, our thoughts, and our words and our deeds, and we'll get some more on that in a little bit. Hey, when people practice self-control, they tend to take life more seriously. They act in ways that are in keeping with Christian decorum, instead of ways that are foolish and frivolous. Gossip, mean talk, and lewd conversations are not acceptable. And we live in a time when there's many lewd conversations and remarks and ungodly thoughts. People don't seem to realize the horribleness of some congregations when they get involved with their kind of people. May God help us in this. Food and drink are necessary in our life for health, but they also need to be controlled. The German would say, fresse, if we overeat. And we get certain things that are the taste buds, our taste buds just love them. And then let's just not, and I'm talking to myself, really. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself. Because ice cream gets pretty important in my life sometimes. And some of that pudding that Louise makes, and the ladies here, they bring it to they bring it to the fellowship lunches. Anyhow, it's so easy to overeat. And then I feel stuffed and I have to go to God and ask Him to forgive me again. And someone told me years ago that God would probably say, what do you mean, again? Well, it's because I felt that way. Maybe God didn't feel that way, but I did. And so we need to ask for forgiveness and realize that food and drink are necessary for in our life for health, but not overeating. It says here that the writing that I have, God made man such bodily sensitivity that the taste of good food or drink gives him a degree of pleasure and satisfaction. And that's if we realize that we need to let one Big Dipper full in the pan that the ladies made. And because of this fact, some people live only to gratify their physical appetites. They live to eat instead of eating to live. You know, our lives need, we need some food. But we need to be careful that we do not cross the line in this excess. Bodily cravings, appetites, and physical lusts of any kind. I believe that's involved in this self-control. We need to control ourselves in this with the help of the Lord. And these things can get out of control. There are said, someone has said that that type of out of control is said to make war on our bodies. And I believe that. I think recently is the first time I heard that phrase, but I certainly believe that. It's making war on our soul. It gets us to where we don't want to go. When our appetites are controlled, the spiritual life can flourish. In the case of drugs and alcohol and any other type of things which are harmful to the body, it's clear that self-control means abstinence. In other words, stay away from it. If I am like Steve this morning, pronouncing words properly. I think that's abstinence, right? Okay. You know, and another thing is the Apostle Paul mentioned. He says all things, and in 1 Corinthians 6, 23 and 24, I guess he says that all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And, let no man seek his own, but every man and others' wealth. Build each other up in the most holy faith. And Paul says in another place, I'm not sure I know that. He says something like the same that I mentioned, in that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be put under the power of any. Does that make sense? The power. I will not be put under the power. The things that come to us And he will not be caught in things that should not be. That's kind of the thought I got from it. And then we also need self-control in the area of clothing. God gave man clothing because it was necessary. And we have a desire to be decently clothed. We sometimes wonder what some people wear. Why are they? What are they thinking by the clothes they are wearing? We know it would be best if clothing were not made to display, reveal, or show off our wealth. You know, how many dresses we can have and all that kind of thing. If we all practice self-control and common sense in our clothing selections, we would be better able to give society a chaste and godly witness. I believe they are like, maybe I said that here a while back when I preached here about the Mennonite lady that was in the store, and another lady came to her and asked her if she was Mennonite or Amish, and she said, well, she's Mennonite, and then the lady turns around, she says, well, you keep on living the way you are. We're watching you. I think you heard me say that here several weeks ago. So also we need so many inventions. We have so many inventions, new inventions. And they really get on to us, don't they, at times. Labor saving, time. Where's all the time we save by these labor saving devices and equipment and so forth? We don't have to have the latest or the best. We need to practice self-control in these areas, and we should ask ourselves, is it necessary? Should we really do this? And when we think of self-control, what all is necessary that we think we need to control? Or we shouldn't be that way. Then there are the ambitions to get ahead, to be the first or the foremost. They too need to be controlled. Our prevailing thought should be God first, others second, and me last. We should always be mindful of the fair business dealings which are above board. Fair dealing business. Fair dealings with our employees. Samuel, he has a number of employees working in his butcher shop. Oh yeah, he can't pay at the best. He can't pay like the mini barn builders. He can't pay the money. But he gives a good wage. And that's another thing we want to bear in mind. Business dealings which are above board and are in accordance to Christian principles. Our business dealings must never have the effect of being harmful to others. And when we think of self-control, we often think, rightly so, of our temper. And some people call it giving someone a piece of their mind, but most of us don't have a whole lot to spare. Let's put it that way. Controlled temper is a testimony of a living Savior and Lord. So may we take heed to some of these instructions that the Apostle Paul has given us by sharing his own thoughts and ideas of his own life as he serves willingly in the vineyard of the Lord. And it would be hard to mention all the things that would be involved in the practice of self-control. The Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:30. Our life would be a total failure if we were to depend on our own determinations and strength. The Proverbs writer says that, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord, and with all thine heart, yeah. And he says, fear God, and keep his commandments, or something like that. I'm not sure I have that. But he goes on. He says, be not wise. That's the way it was. It's come to my mind. Be not wise in your own conceits. And that also, the self-control has something to do with that. Be not wise in your own conceits, in your own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. Self-control. And actually what we're, if we get right down to it, we must remember that self-control in our lives is God's control. Self-control really means God's control. We need to let him control our lives, in other words. For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So controlling my life. Is God really controlling my life? Let us take heed to some of those things and see where we stand. And I'm not talking to anybody more than myself. I don't have anybody in mind, really. And thank God I don't have to do that. But we want to trust in the Lord and let him rule and reign in our hearts and give ourselves wholly unto him and not be brought under the power of food or things or whatever it might be. But let's let God have the power in our lives. For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let us remember those things. Let us remember that we want to be humble. Scripture in Isaiah says that God lives in a holy place in heaven and in a humble heart. So let us be that person that has a humble heart and that loves everybody as God has loved us, and not be self-willed or want to control the whole business. Let's just let him use us for his glory and his spirit take us where he wants to. Thank you for your prayers, dearly beloved brethren and sisters. And let's kneel for prayer.